But did I stop loving them? No, I love every one of them. That's the thing about salvation. It makes you strong. It makes you begin to love people like Jesus loved you. And then you grow in it. And that's wonderful. I love that. So I'm not willing to hold grudges. Continuing with this word of the Lord, he said, they are not subject to me, nor can they be. Talking about those that remain fallen. They are not subject to me, nor can they. They can't even be subject to God. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it according to the parable of the soul. This is a true fact. Now, this broadcast is going to be longer because it's something else I want to get to. So, part two is coming up. Okay, he said, this is back in Galatians 5, chapter 11. He said, verse 10 again. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. See, if he start preaching circumcision, then they'll be all right. But he said, I wish that they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. This is how, verse 12 is how you prevent, or verse 13 is how you prevent yourself from becoming a foolish virgin. I'm going to read it again. For brethren, ye have been called to liberty, the freedom in the Lord, liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. If the foolish virgins would have continued in the path of the Lord, which is verse 13, they would never fail and become opposite. Watch verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you can do that, you'll never, ever be a foolish virgin. Also, people that get in strife, they may love God, they may love his ways, they may not lust after people, they may not be greedy, but they choose not to forgive others. Very dangerous. And that can cause a person to become a tear. That can cause a person to avoid God. If that leaven grows, is there anybody you didn't forgive? If you want to go to heaven, you got to forgive that person. Well, let me put it this way. If you want God to forgive you, you got to forgive others. We owe everybody the love of God because that's what we were given. We need to transfer the ways of God in our lives. Let our light shine. Don't hide it. If you have a problem with any person, any group of people, forgive them. I don't like to see, you know, I don't like the strife. I don't have to be, I see people doing all kind of things. I don't have to be in strife with them. Even people that try to lobby for abortion, that's just going to cause a swift judgment to come upon them. And how do you deal with that? Well, I love the person, not the spirit behind them. There's a spirit behind it that they don't see. That's why people get upset with me. They want me to be mad at the politicians they don't like. I don't have a strife against any politician. I don't like some of the stuff that they do, but if I met them, I would be nice to them. I would love them just like Jesus loved me. But the spirit behind them, I fight. I fight the spirit behind the drama and the confusion. That's what the wise virgins do. That's obedience. The word tells us to give no place to the devil and the spirit that he is. And whatever he's doing, you cut him off at the head. When I fight Satan, I say, Satan, stop it. That shuts down the whole thing. The whole organism. You have to see Satan's kingdom. He's the head of his kingdom. Why fight foot soldiers when you can just stop the whole thing? Okay, but the people I love. Do they love me? No. Will they kill me? Probably. But I love them anyway. Why? Because they're deceived. Or leaven. They might even be downright mean, but I love them anyway. And that's not here. That's not lip service. That's the way it is. Because God fights my battles. And he loved me when I was contrary. So I love others when they're contrary. And guess what? If it all works out, they'll get saved and be my brother and we'll be happy in heaven. That's real, folks. But when I see people, they mad at a politician. A lot of people were persuaded against Trump. A lot of people are persuaded against Biden. Some people love Pelosi. Some people hate Pelosi. I don't hate nobody. And some of these people I wouldn't vote for, but there's a reason. And there are some that I would vote for, and there's a reason for that. But personal stuff, no. I don't hate people. And I mean, some people be so, you can see it in their countenance. Terrible. And people will miss heaven over stuff like this. Terrible. And guess what? They don't even know the person they're mad at. They're going by the news. Or something that the news said they said. Or took out of context they said. Or maybe they did say it. But that don't have to stop me. I'm going to love everybody. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Even anger lust, blood lust, sex lust, any kind of lust. Greed, power, the need to be preeminent against others. No. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then he said, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would do. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Isn't that good to not be under the law? To be in liberty. See, that's the liberty that God gave us. We're not under the law. We're enabled by Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, to fulfill the law. Then he defines what can keep you out of heaven. He said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness." When he said murders, sometimes that's the word slander as well. Slander is murder. Hatred. Okay, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I just read this word of the Lord, and it points out why. It turns you against God. Everybody that loves the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. Now watch this. This is where the five virgins thrive. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Look at it this way, all right? You were once homeless. You and many other people were once homeless. A man came to town, started a business, hired everybody, and enabled you to buy homes and cars and have dignity again. Then he had a feast at his house and invited everybody. And half of the people were grateful. When they came to his house, they had love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, And half of them, they had the works of the flesh. They were adulterers, fornicators, unclean, lascivious, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. How would they act at his party? He would have to warn them. They need a law. They need somebody to say, look, you know, one of his ushers say, look, don't steal. Don't say things out of context. Don't look at the man's daughters. Don't try to see if there's change in the couch. You know, now that's insulting. But some people need a law. They don't have liberty, the liberty of God. They don't have the love of God to restrain them. They will do. They can't wait to do some of these things that's listed in verses 19 through 21. But see, when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you don't need a law. That's what Jesus did for us. We don't need a law anymore. We have the love of God in us. And the Holy Spirit works with us and helps us clear things up. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They cannot, the five wise virgins can never become the five foolish virgins. And the five foolish virgins, if they don't stop the leaven process, they'll never choose to be wise virgins again. And that's the condition of many people in modern Christendom. The rapture will prove me right. And that's the problem for them. But if they somehow reevaluate themselves and judge themselves and come out of their sin and stop being half-hearted, maybe they'll choose to come back. But according to the word of the Lord, they won't do that. And that amazes me. But verse 25 said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. One scripture, Paul said, do nothing for vainglory. Now, when you look at the five wise and five foolish, we'll end with this part. It's Matthew 25. Now watch the wording of Jesus with all that I just spoke. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Here they all did the same thing. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Why? They take things lightly. The love for the world will affect you the way you're dedicated to God. That don't mean people that skip church are foolish. It may mean they're busy. It may mean they're sick. It may mean they're lazy. But it don't always mean that they're evil. But friendship with the world is enmity with God. Never forget that. Says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They went and they had the intention to do this. They were not half-hearted about it. You don't take a lamp and no oil. As if the little amount of oil that's in there is going to be enough. And if you go to these occasions, you know it can take long. You take oil with you. You think ahead. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go ye out to meet him. I don't know all the details of Jewish weddings, but this is relevant, and I'm going to roll with it. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil. for our lamps are gone out. What is this lamp? They let the love of God drain away because of the love of the world. That's the only thing that'll do it. But the wise answer, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Some people refuse to operate by the love of God, just like the foolish virgin let their lamps go out. Consider this. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went out with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You see that? I read this so many ways, and one day I thought about it. I said, the Lord is coming at a strategic time when people will. He remember something about the Lord. He said, I wish you were hot or cold. Now, consider that statement. One way or the other. Hot or cold. Hot being the best. Remember when we first met the Lord, he said, let there be light. He was dividing light from darkness. Genesis 1 and 2. Let there be light. And he chose the light rather than the darkness. He came at a time people with the gray area would be gone. And I really believe this. The warnings have happened because of his vast love for the five foolish. He warned them. He raised up preachers to warn them. He sent messages to them. He saw this day coming. He did everything possible. See, when people, at the end of all this, everybody's on both sides. Some people wised up and they got right with God. But the Lord worked with people. He waited, he delayed so that the wise would be stronger and the foolish would be more foolish. Because he really wants the people to make up their mind one way or the other. He wish you were hot or cold. Preferring everybody will live. But hot or cold, not in the middle. So things are happening to make people take sides. And that's one purpose of the Antichrist. He's going to make sure people take sides. Because your life is going to be at stake. Did you know the Antichrist is necessary? He is a necessary part of the whole thing. If I could kill him, I wouldn't do it because he's necessary. I would want to. I know he hates humanity. But even Satan is necessary. And I say that because of this. After Jesus reigned 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed for a little while, a little season, to tempt whatever he can. Because the Lord will not allow sin in his kingdom. Everything that's not like him will side with Satan. The first thing Jesus did before the Lord, after he was baptized, he was separated. He was sent to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil so he could overcome him once and for all. That's where he did that. Then he continued forward with God's will. Everything of God must drive out the darkness. We all share that responsibility. We don't let satanic ways enter our being. And we do something about his temptations and his works. Okay. Read verse 10 again. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Now they want to be in the kingdom, but they want to be in the kingdom on their terms. Some people want Jesus on their terms. These are just like the people when Jesus fed the 4,000. They wanted to make a king out of it. He just did a notable miracle, and they was trying to see how they could take him and make him a king. On their terms now. And Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do. And they left him. See, there again, the Lord wished people were hot or cold. He has always been this way. He has always been this way. He even asked Pilate, why do you say this? Is it I forgot the phrase, but why do you say that? You have to read it. He asked him why he said it. Is it because of himself or somebody else? And Pilate was asking him about being the Son of God. But nevertheless, God wants us to make up our mind in a pure heart to serve God with our heart in it. That's the only way to be a wise virgin. But the foolish virgin won't do that. They want God on their terms. They wait till everything's all messed up. And afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But now watch this. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Wow. Now they were not idolaters. They were virgins. But they were foolish. He said, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his good. Now this parable, the parable of the talents, is just like the parable of the soul. It's just a continuation of it. Heart faithfulness versus empathy. Heart faithfulness versus compromise. Heart faithfulness and obedience versus compromise and disobedience. And people make these judgments in their heart of their own free will for whatever reason. People are leavened for different reasons. And they act leavened because of different reasons. But leaven is leaven, and it always ends in death. And it will do something against what you choose. He said, neither can they value the glories of the Lord. Now, that's strong. Okay, so now you got a clear picture of the wise virgins versus the foolish virgins and the reasons why they do these things. But when you stay in the love of God, you can't but succeed. And the love of God helps you to grow from glory to glory in every which way there is. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And he's faithful and just to forgive people and bless people. He loves you so much. Remember, if you did something you know is just terrible, and you go to the Father in faith and ask him to forgive you, he's like the man in the parable of the prodigal son. He's watching for his son to come. And one day he see his son come, dressed in rags. And he get the biggest robe, the best robe, and put on him and have the fatted calf. God rejoices when we come back with a heart that loves not only him, but others. The test of your love is the way you love other people. Even people that have angered you the most. If you can love them, you're in obedience. But the moment you say, but, he did that. That's what the foolish virgins do. They love conditionally. They even love God conditionally. If you love man conditionally, you love God conditionally. If you love man unconditionally, then you're able to trust God. And it can't be separated. You love God no matter what. Job loved God no matter what. Even he didn't. Not only because he didn't have understanding. He did not understand. And he still loved God. And he wouldn't charge him falsely. Even when his wife gave him a compromising statement. Why don't you curse God and die? She spoke from the pit. And he saw through it. He would not do that. And he didn't have all the facts yet. He gained the facts. Then he was able to write chapter 1 and 2. Did he know what was going on? He didn't know why this was happening. But he would not charge God foolish. If you can love man unconditionally, you can love God unconditionally to the point of trust. But people that love man conditionally, they put conditions on whether they'll believe Jesus or not. Consider these things. There's a terrible, vast difference between the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And like I said earlier, the foolish virgins, that's Satan's insurrection. And their life portrays a darkness that's deadly to not only themselves, but whoever listened to them. Consider these things, because the Lord's return is imminent. And he's not the author of confusion. Remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.